there are already some people in the federal workforce, I think about 10%, according to the latest survey, that are telecommuting about a day a week. But our goal was to increase that substantially, and we figured the only way that was going to happen is if you had some real dedicated attention to it. And so what the bill does is it would require each federal agency to appoint a telework managing officer. So now you would have somebody within each agency who's really responsible, who's the point person to coordinate the telework policy and to make it clear to employees and managers and supervisors that this is a real resource that can be taken advantage of. The OPM will develop regulations, uniform regulations across the board to support those efforts. There will be training opportunities for supervisors and managers so they can better communicate the telework opportunity. And then there'll be periodic, regular evaluation of the telework implementation to see how that's going along the way. And of course, it fulfills many, many objectives. It's going to help these agencies recruit better because they'll be able to offer this kind of opportunity to prospective employees. It will, I think, raise both productivity and morale because we've seen that clearly in those agencies that have been most proactive in their telework policies in the last few years. The continuity of operations dimension of this cannot be overstated. With the snowstorm in this past winter being a perfect example of how many were able to continue with their operations and their jobs, even when most of the government was shut down. So we think there's many, many benefits, and we're hoping that with a more concrete policy in place promoting telework, that we're gonna see these agencies take real advantage of that.
You mentioned the OPM survey, which showed that about 10% of federal employees telework at least one day a week. One of the findings in there, 23% say they're not allowed to telework. Did that number surprise you, and did you think it was going to be higher or lower?
Well, I wasn't really prepared for that number either way. I think that number just intrigues me, and it's another reason why having a policy in place and having a telework managing officer in each agency, I think, is going to be very useful because they can test that proposition. It may be that some employees perceive that because they're in an environment where people really aren't, you know, supervisors and managers, you know, really aren't promoting a culture where telework is developed. And if you can get policies in place and individuals who are promoting it within the agency, you may discover in the next survey the people who thought they, quote, weren't allowed to do it or were being discouraged from doing it, in fact, see that it's a real opportunity for them. I thought what was interesting about the survey is there was only, I think, 36% overall who indicated that the nature of their job would make it very difficult for them to take advantage of telecommuting. That number could change itself, particularly over time if we develop more secure opportunities for people who deal with more sensitive information and so forth. But even if you accept that number, that means there's 64% of the workforce that could take advantage of telework. And so the opportunity to really increase the numbers across the board, I think, is significant.
It's interesting. Now, I've been describing the bill as essentially saying it changes the default to you can telework unless there's a reason otherwise, as opposed to right now you have to justify why you can telework. Is that a fair description of this legislation?
Yeah, I think that is fair. I think it's going to put the presumption in the other direction. In large measure, because all the research shows that those agencies that promote telework and take full advantage of it, are showing enhanced productivity, savings over time, improved morale, efficiencies. And so it starts to be, the question starts to become, if you're not teleworking, why aren't you, when there's all these benefits that are available to you? And I think having these uniform expectations in place and having individuals that have responsibility for the policies is going to certainly help.
Part of the OPM survey also showed 12% people said they're just not interested in telework. And certainly there are some people who say they like the water cooler, for whatever reason. Where is the disconnect here on getting telework in place? Because I know when I'm out speaking to folks so often, particularly around green initiatives, they say, hold on, I'd love to telework, but I'm told I can't. There still seems to be some disconnect there.
Well, I think it's about the culture you create. And as I've mentioned, there have been some agencies, for example, the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office has been, very proactive and aggressive in promoting telework. And so you begin to create a culture within the workplace where that's just seen as a very reasonable and accessible option for how you do your job. And I think that over time, you're going to see that develop. You know, I was talking to a reporter yesterday who made the point that since 2001 or 2002, there has been a broad sort of statement about telework that has been in place in federal statute and regulation. And she sort of wondered, well, why hasn't that had traction? And I think it's because until you have a more dedicated set of policies, and particularly until you appoint somebody within the agency who's going to be the quarterback for this effort, it's easy for it to slip off the radar screen. Once, however, you kind of push past, you push past the wall, as it were, and make this a clear opportunity for people, then I think it'll really accelerate. And that's what I'm expecting to see. And I think John Barry, who's head of the Office of Personnel Management, he recognized that from the get-go when he took over that role. He's very excited that we now have these standards in place, or we'll have them soon once we get this to the president's desk, and going to help him.
And part of telework seems, as long as I've been covering this stuff, everyone's been talking about focus on the results that you're getting. Don't focus on how people do their jobs, focus on the results. Of course, OPM testing out this results-only work environment, sort of telework on steroids, where you don't have a time clock, timesheet, you focus purely on the results. And that seems like that's what, if you're focused purely on results, that would thrill people all through the organization, certainly up there on the Hill.
Well, you're absolutely right, and what your observation, I think, gets to is that when you look at organizations that are promoting telework and therefore having to focus more on results, what you discover is that the productivity in those organizations increases across the board. In other words, it's not just increased among those who are doing the teleworking. But because you create a culture that's more focused on results than sort of process or FaceTime, that promotes productivity for the entire workforce. And that's why, as I say, when managers look at this and leaders of organizations look at telework, leave aside all the things about reducing the carbon footprint, reducing congestion on the roads, improving morale, which are all great things. If you just look at it in terms of making your organization more efficient and productive and cost-effective, leaving telework out of the equation is irresponsible.
And improving your COOP plans, having a continuity of operation plan, for goodness sakes.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's, as we look at disaster planning, that becomes more and more relevant every day. Not having this capacity as part of the organizational structure, again, would be irresponsible. So there's just, all the members who spoke to this in the debate yesterday Democrat and Republican, and this was bipartisan right from the get-go. You know, they all talked about how this is a win-win-win. I mean, you can, I called it a win times five. You can come up with so many different reasons why this is the right thing to do. And I think that's why it's got an inevitability to it in terms of getting this companion piece in the Senate tied together with what we've been able to develop, and then getting a final bill to the president's desk. So we're looking forward to that.
And it seems like if you want to make government cool again, if you want to attract the young people to government, this is how they operate. They're mobile almost inherently.
There's no question about that, and that's why it's so critical in terms of recruiting good people into the federal workforce. If we can't offer that opportunity, then the private sector, which is being very aggressive with telecommuting, is always going to get, you know, the pick of the litter, if you will, when it comes to the workforce. So we have to do this in order to compete.
Let me ask you one last question, and then I'll let you go. You've been very generous with your time. What is the pathway to timetable path, and what are there significant differences between the House and Senate bills?
No, there's relatively small differences. Our hope is that this bill will go across to the Senate, that they will take it up. There'll be probably a couple of modifications. We'll address some of the provisions that got loaded onto this thing yesterday procedurally that are not helpful, and get those taken care of.
Because there's like a porn provision or something like that.
Well, yeah, that's become sort of the a standard operating procedure for the opposition in Congress right now, for the Republicans to keep provisions on as a way of kind of peeling people off. So we'll deal with provisions and some others that weren't particularly helpful, but are relatively minor in terms of their impact on the bill. And then our hope would be that the Senate would pass this by unanimous consent, again, because it's not controversial, and that we would be able to bring it back over to the House side at that point, accept the Senate version in a straight up and down vote, and get it to the president's desk. And if we can get that done in the next 2 or 3 weeks before the August recess, that would be excellent. In any event, I'm very confident we'll get it done before the end of the year.